Sisters and brothers, every year as we begin this holy season of Lent, we're confronted on the first Sunday with this account of the temptations of Jesus. The order of the temptations varies from one evangelist to the next, but they're always the same temptations, the same ones that you and I and all of us face every day. And they're all summed up in the first of the temptations. They're all about hunger. The hungers we experience trying to satisfy ourselves, almost always in the wrong way. After his baptism, Jesus flees into the desert. The confirmation of his mission in the waters of the Jordan, in the descent of the dove, in the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," must have been, had to have been, a disconcerting, bone-rattling experience for Jesus. It was a confirmation, yes, but more. It was a command to be about the Father's and the Spirit's business, the business of saving the world. And Jesus responded as religious visionaries of every culture have responded to such a shattering call. He retreats into the desert, there to grapple with the demons of self-doubt, inadequacy, and temptation. Moses fled into the desert and then up the mountain to find the law. A young Indian prince named Gautama left his palace and fasted for 49 days under a Bodhi tree. Jesus went out into the Galilean wilderness, a blasted furnace full of life-threatening danger. And there, like Moses, there, like the prince who became the enlightened one, the Buddha, Jesus encountered his human hungers, hungers for comfort, for power and glory, for self-sufficiency. Jesus fasts and prays and fasts and prays. He hears the resounding echo of the Father's voice, "You are my Son in whom I am well pleased." Yet he enters into a place of silence, a place of sensory deprivation, away from all the comforts of community, far from the ordinary pleasures of food and drink shared with family and friends. For 40 days, he fasts and prays. And if that number sounds familiar, it should. That's the length of Lent, isn't it? The tempter comes to him. The first is such a simple temptation. "If you're the Son of God, change these stones into bread. Satisfy your hunger. Leave this nonsense and rejoin the human race." Jesus is hungry for food, but he's hungry for more. He hungers for comfort. And in this, his full humanity is revealed. He hungers. He wants to be satisfied. The tempter makes a simple suggestion. "Satisfy yourself. Don't worry about anything else. Fill the empty space inside you." Yet hungry as he is, lonely as he is, Jesus recognizes this is a dead end. the tempter's offer isn't enough. For not by bread alone does one live. The second temptation grows immediately out of the first. It's still about hunger. I will give you all power and glory if only you worship me, the tempter says. And this temptation is more insidious. Power and glory. Who doesn't want that? We all want. We all hunger for praise. We all want to be in control of ourselves and of others. More than hungers of the flesh, I dare say this will to power is at the root of the crisis our church faces at this moment. Abuse of power takes flesh in the sins of the flesh, yes, but its toxicity is rooted in the will to be powerful over the weak, to affirm oneself at the expense of others. This hunger for power requires us to make into God what isn't God, to idolize, to give glory to ourselves, and not to worship God alone. And Jesus recognizes this as a dead end. You shall worship the Lord your God, him alone shall you serve. The third temptation is like the other two. It plays to our deepest hunger for affirmation. Affirm yourself, the tempter says, even if it means trying to force God's hand. Throw yourself down from the temple, and God's angels will save you. Wrapped secretly inside this temptation is a distorted view of God's mercy and a negation of our own responsibility. What we do, the tempter says, doesn't really matter as long as we're affirmed. And like you and me, Jesus is hungry for that affirmation. But he recognizes this path is a dead end as well. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We all of us hunger. We hunger for comfort. We hunger for power and glory. We hunger for affirmation. All of us have an empty space inside of us. And our culture knows that. It sells us comfort in every advertisement we see. Our political and social and regrettably often our religious institutions are more often rooted in the quest for power and glory than in that word that is very near to us, in our mouths and in our hearts. But if we hear that word, if we taste that word, if we put that word in our hearts, that word and the example of Jesus can lead us from these hungry temptations into lives of service, lives of generous affirmation of others. Jesus' example shows us that the affirmation we hunger for is mysteriously best granted to us when we affirm and serve others rather than ourselves, when we set the table for them. And if we're honest, we'll realize that just as Jesus' tempter departed him for a while, only to return, so also our experience will be a constant struggle against the hungers that shape our human condition. as we enter the season of Lent, let's each of us examine our hungers for comfort, for power, for affirmation. And let's ask God's good Spirit to guide us away from these temptations towards lives of sincerity, of generosity, of humble service, and acknowledgement of the greatness of God, who raised up Jesus and who will raise us up as well.